Meta Productivity, the Next Level Personal Productivity Training by Yuri and John Novotny. Module 5, 7 Productivity Power Tools. About this module. By now you've learned the Meta Habit and the Productiveness Framework. You've also gained additional perspectives and mindsets for achieving high productivity. In this final module, you will learn 7 powerful tools you can use to get an extra productivity boost whenever you need to speed things up or overcome challenges. Add the following tools to your personal toolbox of success and don't hesitate to use them. Once you learn them, you can use them as often as you want or need. Number 1, timer. A countdown timer is a truly versatile tool. It helps you focus, eliminates procrastination, and gets you into flow, helps you take breaks regularly, manage your energy, and more. Let me explain. When you want to work on something, you can give yourself a time limit, anywhere between 5 and 90 minutes. I don't recommend more than 90 minutes as you should take breaks. Such a long stretch would also defeat the purpose of the timer in the first place. Set the timer and go. When it rings, stop working immediately even if you are in the middle of a sentence. In fact, stopping mid-sentence will help you to resume faster when you get back to work. You'll quickly discover that the timer makes you work faster, makes you better focused, and makes your work more fun. When there's a time limit imposed on your work, the evolutionary oldest reptilian area of your brain, the amygdala, no longer fears that you'll have to work forever. As a result, working becomes easier and less mentally taxing for you. Any smartphone or tablet has an inbuilt countdown timer nowadays. If you work at home, you can also get a kitchen timer. The ticking sound can be actually helpful for staying focused. An on-screen timer also works well for computer-based work. It gently puts your focus back to work. In Swift To-Do List for Windows, you can right-click any task and start a countdown timer from the pop-up menu, which will then display a new small floating window showing the countdown. If you learn to utilize a countdown timer, it can literally change your life, especially if you struggle with procrastination or have a hard time focusing and managing your attention. Procrastination is caused by resistance. We feel resistance to tasks because the oldest and most primitive part of our brain, the amygdala, feels threatened. It dreads the work because it's uncertain how long it will take or what else will you have to give up in order to finish the work. The following might sound ridiculous, but maybe your amygdala thinks that you won't eat or experience pleasure for 8 hours if you start working on this thing. These primal fears are happening all the time outside of our awareness. However, all these negative feelings can be eliminated by imposing a strict time limit for your work session. This practice dissolves resistance and reduces the tendency to procrastinate. For example, to overcome resistance to any particular task, you can say to yourself, "I am going to work just 20 minutes on this task." Then start the 20-minute timer for the task. You will have no problem getting started this way. If 20 minutes is too much for you, do 10, 5, or even just 2 minutes. Using the countdown timer has 5 significant benefits. Number 1, it eliminates resistance because it is now obvious that you will work for a limited amount of time, so the task is no longer perceived as a threat by the ancient reptilian part of your brain. Number 2, it sets you free. During the countdown, you don't have to worry about anything else. It frees you from everything else and gives you the permission to focus absolutely on that task. Number 3, the timer will constantly shift your attention to the task. It acts like a magnet for your focus, which is invaluable in today's ADD world full of distractions. Number 4, just when the time is about to expire, you will likely start working even faster and better. You will try to do as much as possible in the few precious minutes remaining. This is the exact opposite of our usual unfocused, fuzzy approach to work. Number 5, once the time limit has expired, you will probably want to continue working. You will get into flow and you can actually feel euphoric while working. Woody Allen once said that 80% of success is showing up. I would say that getting started is 80% of the success. Really, getting started is the most important part of finishing anything. As a result of the increased focus when using a timer, you can easily become more efficient during these focused minutes than usual. I, Yuri, have personally gotten excellent results when using a timer. Every morning before going to the office, I sat down at my computer and wrote this book for 40 minutes with a timer. You are actually hearing the proof that this works. Once you start using a timer, you might want to start timing your breaks as well. One proven approach is the Pomodoro technique. The Pomodoro is an old technique created in the late 80s. The name comes from a kitchen timer that looks like a tomato, Pomodoro in Italian. In a nutshell, it works like this. You structure your whole workday in short 25-minute focus bursts of work and 3 to 5 minutes break. After every 4 25-minute bursts of work, you take a longer break, 15 to 30 minutes. Number 2, touch it once. Every time you reevaluate a task, you are wasting time. This often happens with emails, bills, or tasks on a to-do list in general. Repeatedly coming back to a task and thinking, "Okay, I will do this later," is usually unproductive. Not only are you wasting time, you are also training your brain to habitually procrastinate. So instead of repeatedly reading your to-do list and randomly picking a task to do next, apply a more systematic approach such as this one. Keep your to-do list well prioritized and then just work on the first task until it's done. Then mark the task as done and work on the current first unfinished task and so on. A huge benefit of this approach is that it completely removes decision paralysis, making it much easier to get started on a complex or unpleasant task. When you decide that you'll always do the first thing on your to-do list first, your brain has a much easier decision to make to work on that task or not work at all. That's a simple decision, right? On the other hand, when all tasks on your to-do list are fair game, your brain has dozens or hundreds of options to choose from, which makes it hard to get going. You will then burn a lot of energy on inner conflict due to decision paralysis. Also, keep these two pitfalls in mind. Sometimes it's not possible to finish a task because you are waiting on someone or something. In that case, just proceed to the next task. Also, reprioritize your to-do list once a day at the start or end of your workday. Remember, you want to touch each task once and not constantly reread and reprioritize your to-do list. One final tip, sometimes the best thing to do with a task is to just delete it. It's like when you have leftovers in your fridge that you just know you won't eat, but you delay throwing them out. That's exactly what you don't want to be doing with your tasks. Just touch it once. Number 3, music. Music, when used as a productivity tool, can help you attain and maintain the flow state. In fact, you could call it a flow hack. Music might be the last piece you're missing to be able to get into the flow state regularly. Obviously, listening to the right kind of music can act as a background and help you focus on your work. But there's more going on. The great thing about music is that when you are doing a task that doesn't engage or challenge you enough, the music will occupy your redundant mental resources, which you don't immediately need for the task at hand. Music helps you stay focused and avoid thinking about something completely irrelevant, propelling yourself down a mental rabbit hole. If you're listening to music during work and stop focusing for some reason, the music will immediately catch your attention. It allows you to return to your work without your attention falling off to something completely irrelevant and distracting, which would quickly spiral out of control. Music makes it easier for you to bring your focus back to work after being distracted. You're also less likely to be distracted in the first place. Music can be motivating too. For example, if you listen to an upbeat, energetic piece or a piece that tries to depict the birth of a star or a hero fighting against Hell's Army, chances are it will evoke a hunger to take action and do something meaningful, like close the web browser and start working. Tip, there are hundreds of music genres, so you can find exactly the right music for you and your work. If you go to YouTube, you can search for music mixes like music for programming or music for writing or music for thinking or just chill out. Try to find something without vocals or with vocals that aren't distracting. You can also experiment with white noise and ambient sounds. Playing the sound of an ocean, rainforest, or fireplace in the background might feel good. You can find ambient sounds on YouTube as well. Turn music on and off during your workday for a change. Music works at its absolute best for tasks that you already know how to do well or tasks that are long and repetitive. If you're trying to figure out something complex or need to think deeply, silence might be preferable as your brain can allocate all the resources to the problem then. Number 4, make dents. When choosing which tasks to work on next, don't necessarily limit yourself by the time available. Even if you won't be able to finish the task in the time you have available now, it might still be a good idea to start working on it. Just make a little progress, make a dent in the task. Intentionally working on tasks, even if you know that you won't finish them in one sitting, can be actually quite motivating. Once you open a task, you will have natural desire to close it, and it will be easier to accomplish. It also effectively helps to reduce procrastination because the task isn't so scary anymore if you know that you don't have to finish it in one sitting. Our brain learns best in shorter sessions spread out over multiple days. For example, you will learn and remember any given material better if you study it in 6 20-minute sessions spread evenly over a week or two, as compared to studying it in a single 2-hour session. This is very similar to creative tasks. If you allow enough time between the work sessions, your brain will have enough time to come up with new insights and integrate your ideas into the work. When it comes to my daily closed to-do list, I will often add a final task like make a dent in XYZ, almost as an afterthought. Normally, I wouldn't touch the task XYZ and leave it alone until the next day, but I know that by making tiny progress on it the day before, it will be way easier to do the next day. Even 30 seconds of effort count, perhaps just glancing over the materials related to the task. You can take this even further. Before you take a break, make sure that your work is left unfinished. Ideally, start the next task. Doing this will help you zap right back into the flow once you return from your break. There will be no confusion about what to work on next once you get back to work. The work you already started will be right there. This is actually a writing tip from Hemingway. He always left the last sentence unfinished so he could pick up again in the next writing session. To apply this, number one, once you finish something and want to take a break, make a little progress in the next task right before you take that break. Number two, before calling it a day, make a tiny progress on the most important task that you didn't work on today. Remember, even 30 seconds can count. In my experience, 2 to 5 minutes are usually best. When making dents right before taking a break, don't get lost in the work. Limit the dent making to 5 minutes, otherwise you rob yourself of your break. Use a countdown timer if you must. By the way, Swift To-Do List for Windows has an inbuilt countdown timer. Right-click any task and in the menu, use Time Tracking Start 5-Minute Timer. Number 5. Breakdown Technique. By learning the following simple and proven technique, you will be able to greatly reduce procrastination. It allows you to remove inner friction and resistance. I have published this technique originally in April 2011 on the DextroNet blog, www.dextronet.com/blog. To my surprise, it went completely viral. To this day, it's been tweeted over 1,600 times and it got thousands of shares on other social networks. It has appeared on Lifehacker and Business Insider. The original post was called 10 Best Tricks of Fooling Myself to Work, and this technique was the first and most important trick. The technique is as follows. When I don't feel like working and it would take a superhuman force to get me working, this trick saves me every time. Actually, I think what follows is the best way of fooling yourself to work because it works so well. It's scary effective. So what's the trick? Well, when I have a task X and I don't feel like doing it, I would much rather do anything else, but I know that doing this particular task is the best choice. I do this. I tell myself that I will merely write down the steps needed to complete the task. Just a rough draft at first, and that's it. Maybe just 3 steps. I then add more steps, breaking the 3 steps into smaller subtasks. I then add some details, thoughts, and notes that I shouldn't forget when doing this task. I just think the task through and write everything down. After a little while, I will be a proud author of The Complete Guide to Finishing Task X for Dummies. The actual way I do this is that I open my Swift to-do list and fill the notes of the task I want to accomplish with all the steps and thoughts. For some reason, when there is nothing else to think about and there is no way to screw this task up because everything is laid out in front of me, I start working on the task automatically. I might do just the first baby micro step, but that's okay. It follows to the next, and to the next, and before I know it, the task is finished. And by the way, when you are thinking about how to accomplish the task, you are already actually accomplishing it. And once you think it through, it will seem quite easy. That's it. If you break a task down, you will make it easier to accomplish. Writing down how to complete a task step by step is much more pleasant than actually doing it. Yet, it counts as real work because you would have to think about the steps when doing the task anyway. Number 6. The next smallest step. If you want to start working on a difficult task quickly and effortlessly, this mental trick might be useful. Instead of finding all the steps necessary to complete the task as suggested above, you can simply look for the next smallest step that you could take to move the task forward. The advantage of this technique is that you can actually do it in your head, so you will get to work faster. It won't give you the mental map of all the steps, but in some cases, not writing all the steps down is preferable anyway, like when the steps are obvious. We often feel resistant to certain tasks for one reason or another. Let's face it, important tasks are often scary in some way. I am sure that you can relate to this. The man who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones. Confucius. Moving a mountain sounds scary. Carrying small stones, less so. So how does this work exactly? Let's say that I want to write a book and I feel an enormous resistance to writing it on this particular day. However, with the following dialogue, I can move past the resistance and start writing in just a few moments. It goes like this. This is the dialogue I have with myself. Question: Can I write a book right now? The answer: No. The question: Okay, how about a single chapter? Can I write a chapter? The answer: No. Question: Well, how about just one page? Can I write one page? The answer: No. Question: Well, can I at least open MS Word? The answer: Yes, I can do that. So now I have Word open and the process continues. Question: Can I write something? The answer: No. Question: Can I read a few random paragraphs I've already written? The answer: Yes, I can do that. So I start reading, and sure enough, I want to edit some of the things I wrote during the previous sessions. I edit them, and before I know it, I am writing new text. Once I run out of things to write, I take a break, and then I continue the dialogue with myself like this. The question: Can I write some more? The answer: No. Question: How about some free writing? Can I write some completely random stuff at the end? The answer: Yes, I can do that. I start writing random things at the end of the book, whatever is on my mind, clarifying my thoughts, playing with ideas, and sure enough, before I know it, I am writing valuable new content for the book again. As you can see, I am always trying to find the smallest possible next step that I can take. It's a painless step. Sometimes I do this dialogue on paper or on a computer. You can experiment with that too. This technique works like a charm. It is simple, yet powerful. Here is the most important part. I've discovered that if I start the day with a task that I resist the most, it will enormously energize me. On the other hand, if I avoid that task instead, it will stress me and deplete me. It is very important that you learn how to overcome resistance and begin your workdays with the things that you resist the most, as it will completely change the tone of your day. Take this technique to your toolkit and, if at all possible, use it today. That's the best way to make sure you won't forget it and actually use it when you need it. Seeing is believing, so see for yourself how effective it can be. Number 7, think in writing. Thinking and writing is probably the single most powerful tool I've encountered in my life when it comes to evolving yourself, developing your awareness, and increasing your level of consciousness. In other words, becoming a better human being. You can also use this when you feel distracted and can't focus, feel anxious, or are ruminating about some issue. Whenever you get stuck or into a rut during your day, open a text editor and think. Even if you forget everything else from this book and just do regular thinking and writing, your life will dramatically change in the long run. Thinking in writing is so powerful, yet so easy and pleasant to do, that it's a shame that more people don't do it. It might be the biggest secret of personal effectiveness, and I don't say this lightly. Perhaps it is the simplicity of this technique that fools people into thinking it can't be helpful. Some may think that they don't need to do this. I can understand that. If you think you're smart, you might also think that you don't need to write your thoughts down. That line of thinking is an illusion and a trap. When you think in writing, it's different than when you think just in your head. Our minds can only hold a limited amount of information at any given time, but written words have no limits. It's impossible to start using this technique without raising your awareness and ultimately changing your life. I'm not entirely sure why this works so remarkably well. However, I have several theories. Here are some of the reasons why thinking in writing is so powerful. It allows you to think in a crystal clear way. It allows you to think in a structured way, coming to conclusions and decisions. It saves you from going in circles in your mind and life. It helps you get unstuck. It elevates your thinking into a rational logic space which is not clouded by the daily battlefield, distractions, and irrationality. It dissipates mental fog. It helps you to stay on track and prevents you from undoing the progress you've made. It allows you to discover the truth and stick to it. It eliminates self-deception from your life. It helps you discover what you really want. It's like an appointment that you make with your best self. It's a way of being accountable to yourself and attaining higher standards. With this tool, you elevate yourself. And if you keep elevating yourself, your life will become elevated. This tool can be used in many ways and situations. Let's take a look at the application. As a daily reflection tool, as part of your evening ritual, write what went well. Write what went wrong. Write what you could improve tomorrow. Write what you are grateful for. Write what made you happy today. Reflecting on the day allows you to learn from your mistakes, make an incremental progress, and focus on what works and do more of that. Writing daily what you are grateful for and what made you happy will help you stay optimistic and happy. This is scientifically proven. To elevate yourself from a rut. If you are in a rut or feel lost, confused, or super distracted, writing your thoughts down will show you the way out. Just open a text editor and start by describing your current situation objectively as a police detective would. Then think about what you could do right now to change your state to reset yourself, and what you are going to do after that. For example, some great ways to reset yourself include going for a walk to clear your mind, organizing your desk and to-do list, or exercising. Chances are you already know the solution to your problem, whatever it is. If you write the solution down, it will help you to convince yourself to take action and apply the solution. For planning. Whether you want to plan your day, the next day, the week, the month, the year, the rest of your life, thinking and writing is the best way. Written plans make wishes and dreams real. For journaling. Capturing the events in your life helps you to gain new insights and perspectives. By keeping a journal, you will notice patterns and identify areas where your thinking is flawed and areas where you don't take action, but also areas that work great for you. And when you reread your old entries after several years, you will gain even more valuable insights. He who knows others is wise. He who knows himself is enlightened. Lao Tzu. To make decisions. Have you ever listed pros and cons when making a tough decision? If you did, you were thinking and writing. Many people do this, but I think that most people don't do this often enough. When facing a tough decision, first, diligently describe the situation objectively without any emotions. Next, write the ideal outcome. Next, write possibilities for action. For each path, write both pros and cons. Finally, make the decision. If it still feels off, try to describe the situation from other perspectives. How would Warren Buffett view and handle this? How about Benjamin Franklin? How about Spider-Man? How about Buddha, Stephen Hawking? How about Steve Jobs, Obama, Gandhi? How about a dog, a tree, an alien? To make progress in your life. The top reason why to use thinking and writing is that it's simply the best way to make progress in your life. Taking action is also necessary, but unless you are taking action in a smart way, it will be action taken in vain, or worse still, action taking you backwards. When you write your thinking down, it will help you to identify the next best action. It will also help you figure out how to take it. To get better at writing, thinking, and communicating. When you write and think, you get better at writing and thinking. You also get better at communicating with yourself and ultimately others as well. Writing, thinking, and communicating are all key skills in the current world, and getting better at them pays off handsomely. The way you communicate with yourself is extremely important for your success in life, so hone this crucial skill. For clarity. When thinking and writing, you are thinking clearly and rationally. Writing allows you to maintain incredible clarity in your life. You just know your goals and decisions are solid. It's like a secret superpower that others don't have. To figure out what you really want. In order to figure out what you really want from life, you need to be honest with yourself. And being honest with yourself is much easier when you're rationally writing your thoughts down and you put your irrationality and ego on the back burner. It's just you and the truth. To discover the hidden cause of resistance and solve it. Can't get going on some tough task? Well, maybe you don't want to do it after all. There could be a hidden cause preventing you from taking action. Sometimes all you need is a few minutes of contemplation with a pen or a text editor. Think about why you don't want to do the task so much. If you can discover the hidden cause of the resistance, you can oftentimes solve it easily. The causes are usually very specific and individual. Try to look at it from multiple perspectives. For example, you might not want to start with some big task because you are afraid that you will have no time for fun if you start working. The solution could be to schedule some fun activity with friends for the evening, then happily get to work knowing that the fun is already guaranteed. The Now Habit book calls this unschedule. By the way, it is likely the best book on procrastination. It explains all the possible causes of procrastination in detail, and it provides strategies to overcoming them. I've written a detailed summary of it at www.dextronet.com/blog/the-now-habit-summary. It might be also helpful to remind yourself that you don't have to do it all. In life, everything is optional. Never forget that. Using thinking and writing in practice. I use thinking and writing for all the purposes listed above. The easiest way to implement it into your life is to make it a part of your evening ritual, which is a component of the productiveness framework. You can use it whenever you feel like it could help you. You could also experiment with making it a part of your morning ritual. For instance, if you stop for 5 minutes at the start of your day and think about how to best accomplish the things on your daily close to-do list, you might be more successful. Maybe you could write about why your current goals are important to you. Another idea is to schedule a weekly writing session, perhaps on the weekend, a meeting with yourself. Tip: do a Google search for self-coaching to get additional inspiration. Summary: the core of this training is the Meta Habit and the Productiveness Framework. In this module, you learned 7 additional productivity tools that you can use in addition to those strategies. Try these tools out, and if you find them beneficial, keep using them in your life. Congratulations, you've now completed the Meta Productivity Training. Review the previous modules, and if you've not put the methods into practice yet, do so now. They will change your life. Remember, learning is best defined as a change of behavior. If you have any questions or suggestions, don't hesitate to contact us at support@dextronet.com. Thank you for listening to this book. Have a great day and a successful, productive, and fulfilled life. Signed, Yuri Novotny and John Novotny.